"That's a very special talent you got there," said the kangaroo, bounding over a ship's hawser. "How many Exian ships have you ever seen in Ankh-Morpork? Busiest port in the world, ain't it?"
Rincewind slowed.
"Well, it's the currents, mate. Get more than 10 miles off of the coast here, and there ain't one captain in 100 who can stop his ship going right over the rim. They stick very close inshore."
Rincewind stopped. "You mean this whole place is a prison?"
"Yep. But the Axians say this is the best bloody place in the world, so there's no point in going anywhere else anyway."
There were shouts behind him. The guards here didn't take so long counting to 10 as most guards did. "What are you going to do now?" said Rincewind. The kangaroo had gone. He ducked down a side street and found his way completely blocked. Carts filled the street from edge to edge, gaily decorated carts. Rincewind paused. He had always been the foremost exponent of the from rather than the to of running. He could have written the from of running, but just occasionally a certain subtle sense told him that the to was important. For one thing, a lot of people standing and chatting around the carts were wearing leather. You could make a lot of arguments in favour of leather. It was long-lasting, practical and hard-wearing. People like Cohen the Barbarian found it so hard-wearing and long-lasting that their old loincloths had to be removed by a blacksmith. But the people here didn't look as if these were the qualities that they'd been looking for in the boutique. They'd asked questions like, "How many studs has it got? How shiny is it? Has it got holes cut out in unusual places?" But still, one of the most basic rules for survival on any planet is never to upset someone wearing black leather. This is why protesters against the wearing of animal skins by humans unaccountably failed to throw their paint over Hell's Angels. Rincewind sidled politely past them, giving them a friendly nod and a wave whenever he saw one looking in his direction. For some reason, this caused more of them to take an interest in him. There were groups of ladies, too, and there was no doubt that if XXXX was where a man could stand tall, so could a woman. Some of them were nevertheless very pretty, in an overstated kind of way, although the occasional moustache looked out of place. But Rincewind had been to foreign parts and knew that things could be a bit lush in the more rural regions. There were more sequins than you usually saw. More feathers, too. And then it dawned on him in a great rush of relief. "Oh, this is a carnival, right?" he said aloud. "This is the galah they keep talking about."
"Pardon you?"
said a lady in a spangly blue dress, who was changing the wheel on a large purple cart. "These are carnival floats, aren't they?" said Rincewind. The woman gritted her teeth, rammed the new wheel into place, and then released the axle. The cart bounced down onto the cobbles.
"Damn, I think I broke a nail on that," she said.
She glanced at Rincewind.
"Yeah, this is the carnival. That dress has seen better days, hasn't it? Nice moustache. Shame about the beard. It'd look good with a tint."
Rincewind glanced back down the street. The floats and the press of people were hiding from view, but this wouldn't last long.
"Could you help me, madam?" he said. "The watch are after me."
"They can be so tiresome like that."
"There was a misunderstanding over a sheep."
"There so often is, mate."
She looked Rincewind up and down. "You don't look like a country boy, I must say."
"Me? I get nervous when I see a blade of grass, miss."
She stared at him.
"You haven't been here very long, have you, Mr...
Rincewind, ma'am."
"Well, get on the cart, Mr. Rincewind. My name's Letitia."
She held out a rather large hand. He shook it and then tried surreptitiously to massage some blood back into his fingers as he scrambled up. The purple cart had been decorated with huge swathes of pink and lavender and what looked like roses made out of paper. Boxes, also covered in cloth, had been set up in the centre to give a sort of raised dais.
"What do you think?" said Letitia. "The girls worked all arvo."
The scheme was a bit too feminine for Rincewind's taste, but he'd been brought up to be polite. He snuggled down as far out of view as possible.
"Very nice," he said. "Very gay."
"Glad you think so."
Up ahead, somewhere, a band started to play. There was a stirring as people got onto the floats or formed up to march. A couple of women climbed up into the purple cart, all sequins and long gloves, and stared at Rincewind.